Welcome back to the show. My name is Michael Lin, and this is the MongoDB podcast. Today on the show, a MongoDB community creator and a software developer with over 13 years of experience working on server side and back-end development, Ricardo Mello. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Michael, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here talking on podcast with this magnitude. So I'm very excited to share my experience with you.
Yeah, fantastic. So I initially heard of you when I got an alert. I watch a lot of videos on YouTube, and I have this alert set for anything that mentions MongoDB. And your video about replication came up and alerted me, and I watched through it, and it was really well done. And I thought, I've got to reach out to this guy. And simultaneously, Veronica in our community team reached out, letting me know that that you were in the MongoDB Community Creator Program. And well, that was the inception of this episode. So let's just jump into it. I'm curious about your background. How did you get interested in MongoDB?
Okay, sure. First of all, my name is Ricardo Mello. I'm from Brazil. I'm a senior software engineer, currently employed at T6 Bank, a digital bank institution here in my country. And well, my career started 13 years ago as an intern in a local company here in my city. And well, back then I used to program in Delphi, and then I transitioned to Java, which I consider my primarily and most proficient language. And well, over these years, I have gained a lot of experience in mobile and web development, but my focus is on backend. A few months ago, my company here requested me to go in an event, in a .local event here in São Paulo. And it was amazing, you know, because I could meet a lot of guys from MongoDB, people from marketing, architects, and those who work with MongoDB on their daily basis. And well, I remember back then that I was watching presentations from Boris talking about relational migrator. And well, was funny, you know, because for me, my entire career, I've been working with relational database. And when I saw he migrating relational database to MongoDB, I remember that I thought, oh my God, it's so simple like that, you know, so I have to try it. And well, when I returned to my home, I decided to give it a try, you know, and this is the start of my journey into MongoDB.
Well, that's fantastic. And it's similar to a lot of people who come to MongoDB from the relational world. Relational migrator, what an amazing innovation that is. It's really, we'll include links in the show notes if you want to check out relational migrator that Ricardo was talking about. But I wanted to dive into your video that you created about MongoDB replication. This is a topic that I think fewer and fewer people need to know about it, because we're leveraging MongoDB in the cloud using MongoDB Atlas. And you just kind of like spin up an instance and it's highly available, and really, really, we don't need to know too much about it. But if you're using MongoDB on-prem in your own server environment, it's very important to understand how high availability and replication works. So maybe talk a little bit about why you created the video, and then let's get into replication and start talking about what it is and how it works.
Absolutely. A few months ago, I decided to create a channel on my YouTube, you know, because I think a lot of people needs to see something, you know, a visual demonstration. And then I decided to create that video talking about replication, because, you know, MongoDB Atlas does everything automatically for you. So it created the replica set, you know, you don't need to think anything there. And I decided, you know, back then I was thinking, but what really happened behind the scenes, you know? And well, I decided to give it a try and create my own replica set here, you know, and simulate some disaster on my cluster, you know, because I think this is an indispensable topic for who's work with MongoDB. Whether you are a developer, DBA, and SRE, everyone who works with this database, MongoDB, has to know about replication. So I decided, you know, to explore a little further about data redundancy, high availability, and well, it was amazing. You know, I appreciate that my video. If you liked my video, actually, so I think you, yeah, something yeah. Like that.
Yeah, it was really well done, and it explained the topic in good detail. So let's talk about replication. So why is replication important, number one? And maybe talk a little bit about how MongoDB replication works.
Sure, absolutely. Well, in my opinion, I think the modern applications, you know, when you're thinking, for instance, some bank application or food application, you know, you need to have high availability, you know. And MongoDB with replication, it's an amazing feature when you need something like that, you know. So, for instance, when you think about the data redundancy, in my opinion, it's you know, the most important thing, I would say, because you can create more than one node and you can replicate those data across the other servers. So imagine that you have some scenario of disaster and we need to recover that information. So we can access that information spread out along the other servers, you know. So this is a fantastic feature, you know, a fantastic benefit. And mm-hmm. also a high availability. And well, but one thing that I'm, you know, I would say that it's impressive when you think about read preference. You know, imagine that your application is receiving a lot of requests and you need to improve it, you know, the performance of your application. So you can tell your application to read directly from the other's nodes, the secondary nodes. So you can let yeah. just the primary node, you know, just to write those operations while those requests, those reading operations is occurring on the secondary node. So this is a good benefit also.
Okay, so in order for replication to work and for high availability to be a feature within MongoDB, this is built into the code within the engine, within MongoDB. You spin up several clusters and you name them as a part of a replica set. And as a result of that, they begin communicating. And there's typically a three-node implementation. But I wanted to ask you about the architecture. Like, when you're talking about a base, highly available cluster of MongoDB, what does the architecture look like?
When you think about replication, it means that we're going to have more than one node. Okay, so imagine that you have just a single application and receive all those requests, those insert, read operations on that just that node, okay? But thinking on replication, it means that we're going to have more than one node, okay? In this case, three nodes. So the first node, we receive those primary, those write operations, right, on the primary node. And those secondary node will replicate those data across coming from the primary node. So you have to think in an architecture such like that, you know, with three nodes. So the first node, the primary node, will receive all those insert operations there, and also those read. But you can change it. You can tell your application to read directly from the secondary node and leave the primary node just to receive those write operations.
So a cluster of nodes, one is primary. That's going to be where your application does the primary write operations. And then the writes are replicated to the secondary nodes. And in the event of an outage, if the primary goes down, what happens in that scenario?
Well, in this case, MongoDB has a default configuration. I guess it's on 10 seconds. After 10 seconds, MongoDB will elect a new one automatically to be the new primary node. So you don't need to think about that because MongoDB will do it automatically for you. So imagine that we have a node running on 27,017, and then this node crashes, becomes unavailable. After 10 seconds, MongoDB will choose which one of you guys from the secondary node will be my new primary node. Because as I told you, you need a primary node to write those operations, you know.
Yeah.
It's a rule because you can't write directly on the secondary node, just on the primary node. So MongoDB will elect a new one automatically for you. And then, you know, and then the other node will be the secondaries.
Yeah. And the idea being that you'll have monitoring set up and you'll have each of the nodes running on different TCP ports. And if the primary does go out, you'll be notified. MongoDB will automatically fail over to one of the secondaries, and there's an algorithm that determines which one. And the cluster will remain up, and a new primary will be elected. Your application will continue to work, and you get to go work on the failed primary, bring that up to speed. But what happens in the event that you bring that formerly failed primary back up?
when this node return, for instance, you restart the server, for instance, this former primary node will be the new secondary node, okay? Mm-hmm. And after, as I told you, after the election occurs, that new secondary node will be the primary, and that one that returned right now will be the secondary node. So all those things will occur automatically.
Yeah, it's a great system, and it's really elegant the way it works. It's designed to work automatically. Did you, in your research creating the video, did you do much research into the op log?
No, not actually. Okay. That video just explored the data redundancy, the high availability. Mm-hmm. But, well, I'm thinking for the future, you know, to explore a little bit about the op logs and, mm-hmm. well, other things that really happens behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so the op log is where the data... It's a bit of a journal, and as things are updated in the database, there's entries made in the op log, and as secondaries come back online, the op log is repopulated. So that's a great explainer about how replica sets work, and I'll include links in the show notes to Ricardo's video, as well as links to the MongoDB documentation if you want to dive deeper into how replication works. So it's amazing that you've come up to speed so quickly. And you're doing great work. You've also, since that video came out, you've created some additional content. How did you get involved in the MongoDB Community Creator Program?
Michael, after I was accepted on the MongoDB Community Creator by Veronica, she sent me an email talking about the community program. And, well, it was amazing, you know, because my first article talking about Relational Migrator, I posted it on the LinkedIn, and I mentioned MongoDB, actually, and a lot of guys from MongoDB started to follow me there and share my article, liked it. And then, well, I've just starting to, you know, to thinking, I want to contribute a little bit more, you know, and then I started to searching for some program. And after I applied myself to be a member of the Mongo Community Creator, well, I started, you know, deep diving into that. So studying as much as I can on the documentation, you know, explore more features from MongoDB, such as MongoDB Atlas, those app services, functions, charts, you know, also MongoDB Compass. And, well, I think the key of that success is just, you know, to face it and go through directly, you know, because, well, Michael, I think the most important thing is to share your knowledge. You know what I mean? Because sometimes to do something is trivial, you know, how to do something. But to share it is the key, you know. And, well, I believe on that. And I think this is the reason that all those things is going so fast like that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, technology changes so quickly, and MongoDB is constantly updating and releasing new features. So what's your approach to creating content? How do you decide on what to focus on, and maybe talk about your process for creating videos?
For instance, last week I've write a new article talking about MongoDB Compass query with natural language. Because I was talking with some friends and they told me that they have a lot of difficulty, you know, to create queries or create aggregations pipeline, especially because they are transitioning from a relational database, you know, and they don't have experience on that. Mm-hmm. And well, back then I thought this is a good opportunity, you know, to explore this new feature from MongoDB that uses AI. And you can, you know, type your text there and MongoDB will create your queries or aggregations pipeline automatically for you, just mm-hmm. typing by a text, you know, using natural language. So, well, answer your question, I think it depends, you know, sometimes I'm talking with some friends and I say, oh, I can help them with that, you know, or I can show a little bit about such as replication, what really happened behind the scenes, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love the latest article that you've written. It talks about, like you said, natural language queries using Compass. So we'll definitely include a link to that that brand new article you wrote. What about advice for other folks that are maybe they're using MongoDB today, they want to get into the community? What advice would you have for somebody that wants to do some of the things that you're doing?
Well, Michael, I would say just to start with something, you know, For example, create your free account on Atlas, you know, explore those app services there, create your financial application there, put your data there, explore data model, you know, use the charts to see the progression of your financials, for instance. And I think one thing will lead to the other, you know, and then you see that you need, for example, to study a little bit more about aggregations pipeline, and then you can find out the MongoDB Compass query with natural language, you know. So I think the key is just to start with something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just do it. I love it.
Just do it. Yes.
Well, we're going to have links to the MongoDB Community Advocacy Program in the show notes. If you're listening to this and you want to get involved, check those links out. Ricardo, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap up?
Michael, first of all, thanks for this opportunity. I would say this is the highlight moment of my career, you know, speaking here with you, talking about my videos, my content. So thanks for this opportunity. And I would say for those who are listening, just to start with something, you know, share your knowledge, because I think the most important thing is to share what you know with the community, you know.
Yeah.
And feel free to contact me, to send me a message. It will be a pleasure for me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. And as I mentioned, there are links in the show notes to all of the stuff that we discussed today, as well as links to Ricardo's social media, so you can reach out and chat with Ricardo. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
You.